Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
White, 4 for 5. Boston has 10 threes in the first half. A steal by Jaylen Brown. A transition layup at the right hand. He's got 15 in the first half and the lead back to 17. Tatum, 4 seconds left. Left wing, double. Throws to the right side for White. He shoots for 3 at the buzzer and he hits. Derek White drills another 3 for Boston. The Celtics with 7 triples in the opening quarter. Tatum, right wing. He'll drive and kick. Smart, wide open 3, left side. Hit it! Marcus Smart coming alive tonight. The Celtics have their largest lead, 88-65. Started by Highsmith. He's doubled, gives it up to Hauser. 30-footer from the left side. Dagger! Sam Hauser drills it. And if any Celtic fans were nervous, they don't need to be anymore. That'll do it. Inbound pass. And that ends the game. The Boston Celtics force a game 6, 110-97. We're going back to Miami.
Pressure on them, right? We down 3-0. Nobody thought we should, we were going to win. So we're playing free, playing confident. We're ready to go down Miami.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, May 26th, 2023. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. We'll have Stan Weber on the show. We'll talk to Gary Lezak. I think Gary is going to be in studio to make a special announcement. So Gary Lezak will join us. Just before 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Mike DePasquale, Mike McFarland, Tim Grunhard. I don't believe you about Tim Grunhard. I just don't believe you.
Why?
I never do about Tim Grunhard. We'll see. So we'll have all that and more between now and 10 o'clock. You heard some highlights there. You can listen to the NBA playoffs right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I told you after they won game 4, it was a series. It was on. You didn't have the balls to say that. Now that they've won another game, is it a series, Nate? This is what you needed, right?
I found my balls.
There you go. There you is. This was, I thought last night was very predictable.
Bull balls or whatever.
After what we saw in game 4. And I took to DraftKings Sportsbook with my confidence. And so that was a good move last night. But, I mean, hey, now it's game 6 going to Miami, and all the pressure's got to be on Miami. Miami, this series, I mean, I thought it was done at 3-0. I mean, you were at that game 3, and the way Boston looked, it looked like they had some quit in them. Miami dominated them. Boston coach was talking about not knowing what to do or not having any answers. And it seemed like they were, one more game and they were done. and they won in impressive fashion in Game 4, and then they put them away in Game 5, and now it's on. 3-2, Game 6 in Miami. Miami's got to win Game 6. Because I don't think they're going to win Game 7 in Boston. They're gonna end it in Miami. And that's why there's a lot of pressure on them. And plus, it's just, I don't know. Psychologically, I mean, you got to believe the players on that team thought it was over and thought the Celtics were done. People on the outside and the inside, I think, thought the series was done. Boston didn't. You got to give them credit. And so I don't know. I don't know who's going to win this series. I have no idea. I mean, Game 6 is going to be super compelling. And so I hope Miami bounces back and wins a Game 6. But I ain't betting on it. Stay away from that. Like, I had super confidence. I screwed around with too many parlays last night. That was stupid. I mean, I bet, you know, I just bet it straight up. I bet Boston to win.
That happened.
I did this dumb one, though, that I had Boston to win, Tatum 30 points, and Jaylen Brown 20 points. And Tatum didn't get 30 points. There was one I should have, the one I wanted, and I forgot. That's what sucks about working in Kansas, and then you can make your bets on DraftKings Sportsbook. Then you go home to Missouri, and you're like, oh, I forgot to bet that parlay, but like, I'm not going to drive to Kansas to go do it. It was like Boston giving up the 7.5, and then Tatum, I think, with at least 20 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. And he nailed all those. And I didn't do it. But I picked, I got Boston to win, so.
There you go.
At least they came out ahead, but it could have been a lot better.
Should've, could've, would've.
Still recovering from the screw job from the Haney Lomachenko fight, so. So what do you guys think, Heat or Celtics?
I'm going to stick with my guns and say the Heat are going to take care of business this weekend at home. But
man, they better.
I'm very nervous about it. Like you said, all the momentum's with the Celtics. They can kind of play the card of being the team with nothing to lose, even though they're the much higher seed because of the way the series has played out. So I think the Heat got to get it done. I don't know what the status on Vincent is. And I don't know if Tyler Hero has a chance of coming back and playing any minutes in this game. I know he's been cleared for basketball activities. Those would be huge.
They've been saying all along that he'd be back for the finals, but
yeah, probably not realistic to expect him to make a big impact right now.
Are you saying the team up 3-2 needs a Hero right now?
Maybe not. I don't know. I'm with Matt Moore's touches to drop a guy in there.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe he gets a few minutes at some point this series, but not expecting him. But they need. I feel like they need Gabe Vincent. I don't know what his status is for this game. I know he was out last game, so that would be big. But I'm gonna say Heat. But I see Boston as a 2.5-point favorite.
Oh wow!
So
I mean, it's bound to happen at some point, you know. Team down 3-0. We saw it in baseball.
Yeah. Just like they used to always say, you know, 16 seed's never going to win. We've seen that happen. So, history could be made.
It would just stink that it would be made by the Celtics, though.
Well, let's focus on Game 6. They still got to go to Miami and win again in Miami.
Yeah.
Which won't be easy.
And they'll be, you know, Miami's going to be turned up. The crowd will be turned up. The players will be as well because they know how important it is.
Are you in Lauderdale this weekend?
I am.
Ooh.
I am. But I'm not getting in. I'll be flying, actually, during the game. Hopefully I can catch it on the Southwest free TV.
Yeah, something tells me this ticket is going to be tougher than Game 3 was.
I would, even if I were to get in town in time, I would not be hitting Lorenzo up for this one.
Yeah, you leave that man alone.
But no, I'll be flying down there while the game's going on. So it's when you always pray that the Southwest Wi-Fi is working.
Is that usually an issue?
Oh, sometimes the free TV works really, really well, and other times it's like it just drives you crazy because the picture just freezes over and over again, and you don't really get to see anything. So, and so every once in a while they'll get on the intercom and say, "We're sorry, but the internet is not working on this flight." So, you hope it's one that it's working because I want to watch that game.
All right, let me hear two clips coming out of last night's game. The first one's here, Jason Tatum off the top. He tells us why this Celtics team has the right mentality to face adversity.
They already ran it at a...
I don't think that's Jason Tatum. That didn't sound like him at all.
Mm-mm.
Here's Jason Tatum.
We got a really connected group. We got a group of determined, tough guys that, like I said, I know I can count on. I know when I look to my left and my right, when all hope seems to be lost, you know, when the game is on the line, our back's against the wall, that, you know, everybody going to go down fighting, give everything they have. And that's contagious because we truly, whether it's ignorant belief, we do believe at all times that, you know, if we still have a chance that, you know, anything can happen.
Jump down to Jimmy Butler, star of the Miami Heat. Here's what Jimmy Butler says on how the Heat will bounce back in Game 6.
We just got to play better, start the games off better on the starters, make it more difficult for them. They're in the rhythm since the beginning of the game, but we're always going to stay positive, knowing that we can and we will win this series, and we'll just have to close it out at home.
I'm telling you, man, pressure's on the Heat, baby. 110-97, the Celtics beat the Heat, trying to come back from being down 3-0. They are now only down 3-2, and they play Game 6 coming up in Miami. If they beat Miami in Miami again, then they'll get Game 7 in Boston, while Denver awaits.
Hey, pressure is a privilege. You know, Miami didn't expect to be in this situation. Nobody thought they would be when the playoffs started, so they just got to win a game, and they're going to the finals.
I think it'll end up being a moot point because Denver is going to be well-rested, and they're the best team, and I think they're going to work either the Celtics or the Heat. But
I agree.
You know, got to get there and make them do it first, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on, and next up we'll talk a little football. We've got some sound from around the league. Check in on some of the opposition and what they're saying after we heard from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Nick Bolton yesterday. So we've got all that going on. Gary's going to be in studio, and so be sure to tune in just before 8 o'clock for Gary Lezak and what he has to tell us. So we should have a fun show and get you started on your holiday weekend the right way right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. All right, let's check in with some other teams from the AFC West. We heard Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and some others speak this week. Let's check in with, let's start with the Raiders. Oh, Raiders. You know, their quarterback's Jimmy Garoppolo now. I got to keep reminding myself of that. And so here is ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington with the latest on Jimmy Garoppolo and his foot issues.
As much as head coach Josh McDaniels would like to say that everything is fine, that they knew all of this, it is never a good sign when a player has to have surgery months after the injury that they initially suffered. He did suffer that left foot injury on December 6th, ultimately not undergoing that surgery until after he signed with the Raiders. So ultimately the Raiders deciding that, hey, this injury that you suffered should have had surgery. We're going to go forward with that, and we're going to take the time needed. McDaniels saying that, look, right now we're 100 days away from the season. Not a big deal. we still have plenty of time. We want to take this slow, make sure he's ready for training camp, saying that he's not in jeopardy of missing week one. Of course, we'll keep a close eye on this one to make sure that that is in fact the case and Garoppolo can proceed to the point where not only can he play in training camp, but that he can start the regular season for his new team.
Sounds like the Garoppolo era starting off on the wrong foot with the Raiders. So who'd have thunk it? Normally he doesn't have any injury problems. So that's surprising that he's already a little banged up for his debut in Oakland. Or in Oakland, Las Vegas, wherever. Doesn't matter. They still ain't winning.
That's right.
So there you go. This is another shocker. Did you know Devontae Adams has not been happy since he's been with the Raiders?
How come?
Didn't like the losing and everything else. And so here is Raiders coach Josh McDaniels, who continues to have a job, talking about Devontae Adams and his controversial comments that suggested that he doesn't see eye to eye with the direction of the team.
Devontae and I have talked. I mean, it's not really my concern that anybody necessarily adopts, every vision that Dave or I have for, the decisions that we have to make. Sometimes those are difficult. The thing I'd say about a player like Devontae, and we have many other players in the same category, is they have an opinion and a voice because they've earned it. And I respect the hell out of anything that they would say or suggest or anything like that during the course of the process of trying to improve our team. Those things happen, I'd say, all the time, where somebody may have a question or a comment or a discussion is had, and those are the right things to do, and those players have earned it.
Look, I know you don't want to because it's not, because if you're a Chiefs fan, why would you want to? But for a moment, just try to put yourself in the shoes of a Raiders fan. Like, you can't win the division. That's just not an option. You can't win the division right off the bat. Like, even if things go well for you, you're not winning the division. Okay? So you've been eliminated from the AFC West race before the season starts. That's just how it is. Get used to it. And then number two, you go and get, I was going to say you upgrade quarterback, did they?
That's a good question. Great question.
If you argue, yeah, Garoppolo's an upgrade over Carr. And if you say, no, Carr's better than Garoppolo, I'm like.
Yeah. You could argue either case.
I don't know. Okay, whatever. I'd have to sit here and listen to you guys debate this, and maybe that wouldn't explain it to me. So it's like, if you're a Raider, say, yeah, Garoppolo. Or you're like, Garoppolo.
Didn't Devontae Adams go to Vegas because Carr was his best buddy?
Whatever.
Yes.
And then, whatever you think of him, then the new guy is already hurt and then getting surgery later than he should have. And so that was at least some question. Well, is he going to be ready for everything in time for training camp? I don't know. So then you got that, and then you've got the star wide receiver that you gave up a huge amount of assets for. He's already pissed after a year. Like, who could have seen that coming? Like, dude, Raiders? Really? Is that where you want to go? And shockingly, a year later, he's like, I don't like anything.
Yeah.
I don't like this at all. We're in May, and this is what it is.
Right.
And so next time you catch yourself, I don't feel great about the running back depth with the Chiefs.
You can always be the Raiders.
Stand down. Just think, you ain't the Raiders. Let's check in on the Broncos.
Oh, boy.
They're now, okay, so last year, the reason why they closed the gap with the Chiefs was Russell Wilson. That did not close the gap. Some would say it widened the gap, whatever. And so now this year, the reason why they've closed the gap with the Chiefs is Sean Payton. It's like, hey, don't blame it all on Russell Wilson. It's the Damn coach. First it was Vic Fangio's fault. Then old Nate Hackett went in there and took it on the chin. It's not, don't blame Russell Wilson. Now, Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Now we're ready to unseat the Chiefs. Like, okay, here we go. So let's hear what Sean Payton has to say. And Sean Payton may or may not have been on video taking a giant hit from a bong during the draft. We haven't figured that out yet. I don't know. Not to say that's a bad thing. That's up to him. He's an adult. Here is Sean Payton on how Russell Wilson's looked so far.
He's picking it up. You know, the timing and all of those things that required, you know, for the first 5 weeks, we were just lifting and running. And so now we're getting into some football activity. And, you know, these guys, you know, we're ahead of schedule on the practice. But yeah, he's picking it up good. Looks good. Looks sharp.
Here's Russell Wilson on working with Sean Payton.
First of all, I think Sean's one of the best coaches to ever coach this game. He's intense. He's focused. He's such a great teacher of the game. And so all of us are learning every day, you know, more information, you know, just learning how to play the game the right way, how to practice at the highest level. And that's what we're focused on right now. And, you know, it's an honor to obviously, you know, put on the pads and put on the jersey and just get to do what I love to do.
Do the Broncos scare you at all now they have that they have a capable head coach?
No.
A Super Bowl champion head coach?
No.
How much of a difference can he make? If Nathaniel Hackett really was the issue and wasn't prepared to be a head coach, well, then you do bring in a guy that was a tremendous head coach.
He can make a big difference. Yeah. He can make a big difference. But we're talking about a big difference. He can't close the gap between 14-3 and 5-12. The Chiefs won 9 more games than the Broncos last year. 9.
I think they might settle just for ending the streak.
Like just winning the game against the Chiefs. Could they do that this year? Sure.
What's it at now? 15? 15? Is it 15?
I don't even remember.
It's like so long. I lose
more
track
than 10.
Of it. Yeah. I think it's 15.
That number sounds right, vaguely.
The last time.
15 straight. Okay,
when did the Chiefs, when did the Royals win the 2015 World Series?
2015.
What was the date, though?
Oh.
November 2nd? November
1st? Smart mouth. What was the date?
November 1st.
Right. So November 1st. And so that Thursday night game that featured the Broncos beating the Chiefs, the Jamal Charles fumble game, that took place in September of 2015. So again, that dawned on me yesterday when we were in here talking to Anthony Sherman when he brought up that Thursday night game. The Royals had not won the 2015 World Series yet. And that was the last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs. I mean, think about that. Think about how long ago the 2015 World Series was. Like, not just obviously in years, but just that seems like a lifetime ago, right? That seems like forever ago.
What was happening around that time for you guys?
In what way? Tell me.
I don't know.
We're trying to find Jake.
There you go.
Jake was a whole different person at that point in time. I had 2 children, not 3.
But that just seems like a long, long, because it was. But like, it just like for us in sports and just like look where the Royals are now.
Yeah.
That seems like forever ago. And since the Royals won the World Series, the Broncos haven't beat the Chiefs. It was 2 months. 2 months before the Royals won the World Series, that was the last Broncos win for the Chiefs. I'm sorry, that's amazing. I'll never not be amazed by that, and I'll never stop bringing this up as long as it lasts. Because then, look, it's going to end at some point.
Yeah,
it's a game. The Chiefs have lost to inferior opponents along the way since Mahomes has been quarterback, and though I mean, look, they're favored in every game next year. So unless they go undefeated, they're going to get upset. They're going to lose a game. Well, I can tell you for sure they're going to lose a game that I don't think they should lose because I'm going to pick them to win every single game. So one of those games, I'm going to be disappointed because I will pick them and they will not win. unless, of course, they go undefeated, which I don't think is going to happen. Is there a game that you're going to favor the other team?
I mean, not off the top of my head, no.
I think they're going to be favorites in every game. I mean, unless, like, things happen.
Yeah, unless they get off, like, a really bad start or something like that.
Injury or something, but... And so, I mean, could it happen? Sure. But it's not going to erase what has already happened. 15 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, because, gosh, when you put it out, like, the teams that they could be underdogs against, they're all at home in those games. Philly, Buffalo, Cincinnati, they're all at home. You know? So, yeah, you're at the Jets. Maybe we'll see how the season starts. If the season
you
starts
can open-mouth kiss the Jets all you want. I'm not going to make them favorites over the Chiefs.
I'm not either. I'm just saying. I'm trying to think of possibilities.
You can fondle the Jets all you want over there. Don't you breathe the Jets. Don't you say their names in the same sentence. They got to go out there and prove it.
I'm not saying I would pick them. I'm crossing my fingers for a disaster there.
I'm
just saying if there's maybe if they get off to a hot start and the Chiefs lose a game or two to start, maybe it changes. But
just can't get over that.
If you want to bet on any of the 17 games right now, you can on DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, according to our favorite, I don't know, sportsbook, sports casino, our favorite sports betting app.
Sure.
Chiefs are the only team favored in all 17 games this year.
Boom. Steven's going home. He's done. He did it. Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, Steven, it's Renee at the Copper Kettle. We'll see you next week.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Steven St. John and Nate Buchady now joined by Stan Weber in studio. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
I got a good one for you to start things off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did mention this just briefly the other day, but I was curious to get your reaction to this. Because I do think it's interesting, and I want it to happen for just obvious reasons for this radio show. But I would like to get your thoughts on several reports that Colorado could be coming back to the Big 12. And I'm looking at a report in the Oklahoman. The Pac-12's conference's future is up in the air. UCLA and USC are heading to the Big Ten, and rumors have swirled about San Diego State and other programs wanting to join the Pac-12. However, Colorado remains involved in Big 12 expansion rumors, and now the steam has picked up once again per Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman. And he wrote, a Big 12 source told me last week that Colorado is ready to commit to joining the Big 12 soon. And so this will be something to monitor over the next few weeks. Last summer, Colorado's chances at receiving a Big 12 invite were much lower, but Deion Sanders' arrival has suddenly put the program back into national headlines. And that, of course, is the reason just for me and just for this radio show why I hope this happens, because I want to see Deion Sanders in Colorado play K-State and play Kansas and get all the sound bites leading up to the game and then watch whatever it is, see if he wears a cowboy hat on the sidelines and whatever antics happen there. And I do think it is interesting to see, like, this experiment with NIL and transfer portal and the way he's, how aggressive he is, if he could actually turn Colorado around into a competitive football team in a big conference. And so it is fascinating to me, and hearing Gary Barnett rave about him and talk, because I didn't know, like, what Coach Barnett was going to say because we have him on the show every week, and we asked him, so what do you think about this? And I was kind of prepared, like, for him, like, this is terrible, I hate it. And he goes, this is unbelievable, this is fantastic. People don't understand, people are excited about Colorado football again, tickets are a big deal, it's amazing. And so that had me like, wow, this could actually work then if Gary Barnett decided off on it. And so I'm curious what your reaction to that news is, Stan.
I think conference realignment is a big subject out there floating in the world. It is worth evaluating, and there are a lot of things that can happen here over the next few years. And Colorado is in play. We've said it for a long time that maybe Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State may leave the Pac-12, come to the Big 12. Who knows if that was really in the works, if there are many talks. Those Pac-12 schools have done a decent job of sticking together and saying they're not tempted to move on, but they got giant issues. They got giant issues. The biggest is ESPN, Fox. Those are the two people that pour out all the money, most of the money into college athletics. And right now it's reported that ESPN has very little interest in having the Pac-12 on a television contract. The payouts that they're going to get out there are falling tremendously. Obviously, they lose USC and UCLA to the Big Ten very quickly. And so what's going to happen with the rest of them? Well, they're trying to stick together, but there's just not a lot of glue to keep them together. So every time you hear a rumor like this, could it happen? Absolutely, it could happen. And is the Big 12 open for business? Yes. I mean, right now the headlines are a lot of interest in UConn, getting another time zone, going all the way out there. There's been talk about Gonzaga. Could you bring them in as a basketball-playing school? It seems like the Big 12 is open for business under the new commissioner to bring anybody in and grow the conference. And I think it's very smart. Would Colorado be great to be back in? Hey, I would love to somehow have a gravitational pull to pull in anybody that used to be a part of the old Big 8. Maybe you could say the Big 12, but that's not necessarily true. I'm not waiting for the day that Texas A&M comes back. You know, that doesn't really matter much to me. But, you know, if Nebraska ever found a way, now that's not likely to happen with Missouri and Nebraska or with the two super conferences, because monetarily, the amount of payout that these teams are going to get for their and their revenue streams coming from television are off the charts in the SEC and the Big Ten. They're uncatchable right now. There's not like, well, the Big 12 and the ACC and the Pac-12 are going to catch up soon. It used to be, when did your contract come up? So the Big Ten contract would come up, and, whoa, they broke a record, most money ever. These teams are going to just be pouring money in. And then 2 years later, the ACC would pop up. And, oh, wait a second, they have a new record. And, you know, that would be that kind of thing, kind of like these quarterback contracts, right? It just keeps going up, and the money becomes bigger. That is not the case right now. If you haven't been tracking with college athletics, the Big Ten and the SEC have powered themselves off to be talking more of a range of $100 million per team coming in, when it used to be anything above 50 was a big, big deal. Okay, and the separation might have been 40 for the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and 55 for the Big Ten schools, right? And the SEC right in that range. Right now, we've shot two conferences up toward $100 million, and the Pac-12 is hoping to stay near 40, hoping that they can, but they're very fragile. So it'll be fun. Deion Sanders, that subject, obviously, he's the talk of college athletics because he's willing to say things, do things that are very old school, logical. But nowadays, with the political correctness that's out there, a lot of people can't say things that are very basic. You go back 30 years and you say a declarative sentence, and today you go, oh, I can't say that. Well, Deion's the one guy who can. Okay, when he was with the 49ers, they went out and won the Super Bowl. When he was in Atlanta, they built a new stadium because of the excitement he brought to the area. When he left the 49ers, he went to the Cowboys. They were big rivals. Then the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. You know, then he goes and takes historically black college football teams and makes them relevant. The whole league, right? Mm-hmm. And now he goes to Colorado and just sticks it right in the face of everybody who doesn't think it's just unfettered free agency right now in college athletics. Just go watch Deion Sanders. Did he have 60 players go to the transfer portal, or was it 70? I mean, he basically told the roster, get out of here. You guys are awful. Did they win one game last year?
He told them that in his first meeting. Most of you guys are going to be out of here.
Right.
like flat off.
And after spring ball, though, some of them are like, but Coach, I want to work hard. And I want to – and he's like, no. Nothing's changed here in the last few months. You're out of here. We're bringing in a whole new crew, starting with his son. To be, you know, that came with him from Jackson State will now be the starting quarterback for Colorado.
71 players since last
August. I thought it was 70. Yeah. 71 players hit the transfer portal. In the NFL, you could never do that because guys sign what? Contracts. 2- and 3-year contracts. So he brings up not the ugly side of everything. He brings up the truthful side, okay? Because I've been saying this for a long time. I'm not against the players moving. I'm not against the players having that opportunity. But the players aren't going to win this battle. The coaches are going to abuse them. And so you go to Colorado, you sign a scholarship. Maybe your uncle played there or went to college there, and you're really want to get a degree from Colorado. You want to go up in the mountains in the spring and have some fun with your friends. You love the atmosphere of CU. You want to get a degree in a certain program, and you're going to work hard. You may not be a star. You may not even be a starter, but I mean through these 5 years, you're going to work your butt off to make Colorado the best team possible. Here we go. All I got to do is meet my criteria of caring about class, caring about others, caring about my team, being on time, trying, and I get a scholarship, right? No. Don't play well enough? Get the hell out of here. See ya. You're like, but my degree program is, I don't care. See you later. And that's what they've opened up. Dion's walking in and going, this isn't about your college class. This is about football. Bye. You guys won one game. I'm moving on. And the players have no union to stick up for them. No union. So you know what they do? You know what the players do? They get their phone out, and they write a nice little tweet up that says, love Colorado Nation. It's been good knowing you. I'll always be a Buff. It's been good. But, you know, it's time for me to think about some other opportunities, so I'm going to move my name into the transfer portal. No, your butt just got kicked off the team. But no one, that's not how you read the tweet, right? Mm-hmm. You guys say, oh, someone came to the transfer portal. And I'm going to be saying, no, the coach told him to leave. So, you know, the players are going to get beaten up by the coaches, and Dion's just not being fake about it. He just says, bye-bye, I'm bringing in a whole new squad, and I can do it so fast and bye-bye. With NIL money. But so, you know, he's unique because Dion can say anything, and there's a lot of people that are going, yep, that sounds very, very logical.
Man, it's going to be – I mean, I would love – to have Colorado back, and I would love to have Dion here.
Just I mean, what great storylines, right?
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Did he really say that? But that's true.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
And he might win.
That's the other thing.
He's an old-school coach. He's not a modern coach. Yeah. He plays the modern game, but he's an old-school fundamental guy.
Because, like, even if they don't come back to the Big 12, I'm going to watch that team as much as I can because I think it's a fascinating experiment to see what he does. And if he's successful, then how's that going to impact other coaches and change their approach? I mean, it's I
just
hope
a
he
quick
comes
footnote.
Back.
Even if they don't come into the conference, yeah. And I hope they do. By the way, right. K-State has a home and home scheduled against them in the late 20s.
There you go. We'll see if he's
will Dion still be there?
Yeah, will he? Yeah, or some people suggest that if he has great success at Colorado, then
Broncos
maybe,
head coach,
right? On to the NFL. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's your opinion of Brett Yormark? Because I like him for obvious reasons. I don't know, people may not know this, but he was kind of a power broker in boxing before he became the commissioner of the Big 12. When he was the president of Brooklyn Sports, he was instrumental. It would not have happened without him bringing huge fights and pay-per-view fights to the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and then he was on the advisory board for Premier Boxing Champions and Al Haymon, which is one of the most powerful promotional companies, and that's PBC is putting on the Errol Spence-Terrence Crawford fight that was just announced for July, and so a lot of people thought that, he was like one of the up-and-coming power brokers and most powerful guys in boxing when he was working in Brooklyn with the Barclays Center. And I'm just like looking at some tweets from when he left and people that cover the sport, the Chris Mannix, like, don't be surprised if eventually Brett Yormark resurfaces in boxing. He made it a priority. Barclays Center, instrumental in bringing huge fights to Brooklyn. And so I had read about him and I was kind of interested because he was a big name that was kind of on the rise. And so then when he came to the Big 12, and really interesting in having so many ties in the entertainment industry as well, a really fascinating and impressive resume. So I'm just curious what you think of him so far as the Big 12 commissioner.
Well, it's an interesting study because he's really new to the college outlook. So there's a lot for him to learn, and then there's also a lot for the colleges to learn about how he comes from a different approach. You know, if you have a super strong product, and then you add a whole different diversity to it, is that additive? You know, that's a basic business question right there. Okay, so let's just say, what's the most important thing in college athletics?
the most important thing in college athletics.
Well, what drives the money? What's number one?
TV.
But what sport?
Oh, football.
Football.
Yeah.
Football.
See how hard it was to get that out of him? He wanted to say basketball bad.
He's got a lot of tendencies. It was hard. Let's try this again. What drives college athletics? Money from?
College football.
Boom.
I got it right that time.
Yay.
Okay.
Remember you said when you were like, first, most important thing in college sports, winning?
I'm sorry.
Development?
See, we don't talk about this off the air. We don't set this up, right? So this is real organic. Okay, yeah. Right, football.
Yeah.
Big 12's good at football. Okay? Mm-hmm. SEC's the best, right?
Yep.
That's why they got the biggest money.
Yep.
Big 10's very solid. They've got a lot of history, but the Big 12 football is just as good as the Big 10. It's just as big a deal in our part of the country as it is in the Big 10. Football's giant, okay? So that's your business core. Now, basketball matters as well. Being successful in the NCAA tournament, being able to produce excitement on television like Big Monday, Big 12's really good at that. Big 10's really good at it as well. They're the two most solid conferences. The ACC's about basketball. The SEC's about football. Pac-12, no one cares. It's the Big 12 and the Big 10. We're really good at football. So if you had 10 units of success in your business development, give us 8 units of football and 2 units of basketball, we would be 5-5 by fandom's interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But value, let's value it 8-2, right? So now Yormark comes in. Does he double down and say football is the most important thing in the world? Well, he doesn't come in with that mentality. He comes in with the most diverse, different mentality, marketing, and different ties around the country and world than normal college football emphasis has, that he brings something new. Is it additive? Does he bring in a whole different mentality? He values basketball in a big way. So can we take 8 units of football and just blow past 10 and have 5 units of basketball, 8 units of football and 5 units of basketball because he learns how to promote basketball? Will they separate women's basketball and make it a higher level?
Make it a revenue sport.
Yes, will they do that? I mean, he's the type of guy who's thinking about that. He thinks completely out of the box. What about time zones? But here's the most important thing. I think that an athletic director, if you ask me about an athletic director, I say it's very easy what the most important job that they do. Hire the right football coach to win and hire the right men's basketball coach. You do those two things, the money will be flowing in. You can't do anything wrong. If you do a great job, Gene Taylor, look what he's done at K-State. Excellent. A+. You know what the commissioner needs to do? Get contracts signed. They get grant of rights signed by universities to stick together and be a conference for another 5 or 10 years. Yormark has gotten a new contract with the television entities before the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is in trouble right now. It may break and fall apart because the Big 12 went and got it done and got the money solidified, and the Pac-12 is a tail sitting under there hoping they can get some blood flow over there, and they may not. So what do I think of him right now? A+. All this other stuff that he does, bringing Shaq in to, you know, T-Mobile Center or whatever, talk about Gonzaga, a lot of these other issues, that's fine with me. You know what he did? He put the ultimate pressure on the Pac-12. They're in big trouble. The ACC is squawking and trying to find a way to blow their conference up and get out of there. So guess what? SEC dominant. Big Ten, the most solid conference forever and still is. And number 3, without a doubt, Big 12. We are in business for the long term. It's the ACC that's going to bust up, and the Pac-12. They're going to try to gravitate toward our conferences, SEC, Big 10, and Big 12. We've won the battle with this latest contract that he was associated with. He jumped the gun, knew the people, and launched our conference into more solid positioning.
Feels like he's going to be...
Now, all the other stuff you would talk about, I'm waiting to hear. Like, he may have... You in a boxing match.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd like
T-Mobile,
it.
You know?
But like, he's going to be proactive instead of reactive. You know what I mean?
Well, he's aggressively right. Proactive.
I like that.
That's different than that old stodgy, you know what I'm saying? Is it additive?
Yeah.
Do we take our 10 units of excellence and add to it? Or do you say, wait a second, you're not focused enough on football. You're taking it for granted. Can our football machine roll with us doing a lot of other things? I think the answer is probably yes, but he is absolutely thinking outside the box.
They needed that mentality, and also he put all the media up in the cheap seats at T-Mobile Center. So
I sat up there with Todd Lebo for one game.
Yeah. Boy, there were some people that weren't
and
happy.
And Todd Lebo's a nice guy. Yeah. He was like, this is okay with me. Then I saw him later in the night, and I go, Todd, how do you get down from upstairs so fast? Because K-State was playing.
Right.
And I walked back to head to get a drink and go to the restroom. I go, how do you get down here so fast? I'm not sitting up there anymore.
Right.
I'm not even – there was no seat inside the house. He sat and watched TV in the back room.
He liked it for one
game.
He's
still a nice guy.
Right.
He still didn't gripe. That's but he goes, right. I can't sit up there anymore. I'm going to sit back here and watch TV.
That's right. We'll be right back after this on WHB.